Hey, everybody. Welcome in. Thanks for joining us. I'm James Adams. He's Skeeter Robinson. It's the Fantastics, My Fantasy Fix, DFS Golf Podcast. And Skeeter, it is the longest day in golf as we record this podcast. It's Monday, June 6th. We're getting ready for the Canadian Open. Of course, it is the U.S. Open Monday qualifier. A major we'll be getting into next week, but that is for next week. For this week, we get ready for that Canadian Open, a tournament we haven't seen in a couple of years due to the pandemic and border crossing. So I'm not sure what we're going to make of this tournament, but before we get into it, we should turn back to last week. It was the Memorial, Dublin, Ohio, Muirfield Village, Jack's Place. Quite the tournament, Skeeter, if I must say. Not really, because Billy Horschel dominated that thing on Saturday and kind of cakewalked to an extent on Sunday. But what are we taking away from the Memorial as it stands for the Canadian Open and maybe more so for next week?
I don't know about the Canadian Open because there'll be a much difference. Again, I don't think we're going to get a U.S. Open 13-under winner, at least for the men. Did Minji Ling get to – did she win at 13?
I don't know what Minji she Ling? Won at, to be honest with you. I know that she won, but I don't know what she won at.
Yeah. I mean, it's like I'm watching that – all right, I saw this – why couldn't the men's U.S. Open be why couldn't they do that? Because I think she won by like 5. She was the only one double digits. I think like Billy Horschel, and I think that's her second win. I can't wait for. By the way, I can't wait for the PGA LPGA team event so we can have Min Woo Lee and Min Ji Lee, the brother sister combination play. Like, good luck beating them.
Well, I hope you're right, because if we have that and it works into our fantasy league, I have Minwoo Lee, so maybe that will help me.
Oh, well.
Probably not.
Can I trade my LIV golfers for the LPGA? I'll draft the Corda sisters?
No.
Dang it.
Absolutely not.
Fine, I'll take Min Ji Lee then.
All right, that's fair.
Sorry, I'm trying to distract myself because this literally was the worst DFS golf weekend I've ever had at the Memorial.
Ouch!
5 lineups, had 2 6-of-6s, 3 5-of-6, if, you know, would have had all 6-of-6 if Kurt Kitayama and Tom Hoagie didn't have meltdowns on their second 9 on Friday, but I guess that was a prelude to come, because my goodness, did I... I go from, like, early Saturday morning having all 5 lineups cash and decent to didn't win a cent, because if they shot 5 over or more on Saturday, I had them. If they shot 5 over or more on Sunday, there was a decent chance I had him. If they shot 12 over and their name was Cameron Young, I certainly had him. So it was just Cam Smith just kind of fell apart too a little bit. Mm-hmm. All the guys who kind of made their moves on a weekend, I didn't have any of them. So, you know, you want to talk about, you know, going from 6-of-6 to nothing real quick. That's just kind of way my week went, and maybe it makes up for my American Express where everything went right for where I won $7,000. But, oh, it was a frustrating weekend. Thank goodness I was busy doing other stuff, because if I was at home watching this, I would have just been tilting.
I feel, yeah, I set 5 lineups as well. I had 1 6-of-6. I had 2 5-of-6. My 5-of-6 was able to cash. I think I had Aaron Wise in that one, so that certainly helped. My 6-of-6 cash, but wasn't special. It was Seamus Power missing the cut for me that submarine to 5-of-6 lineup that did cash from being special. Maybe it didn't have Billy Horschel, so how special it was going to be. And it had Cam Smith, who obviously, as you just mentioned, didn't pan out so well. I played a couple showdown lineups for Sunday, as I was fortunate enough to make my way up there and enjoy the Sunday round. So the showdown lineups helped me for a week-long turn a $3 profit, which, as my buddy Flan and I would tell you, a $3 profit in the DFS world is like winning $100 in the real world, because any profit seems to be, for me, like a reason to celebrate. So not making a deposit this week, hopefully not making one next week. We'll see.
Now, can I tell you what was disappointing when I asked you about your trip to Memorial? The fact that you didn't get the authentic Memorial milkshake.
The first concession stand I went to, I asked that question, and I was told that that's really just for the players. There was beer and sandwiches and soda and water, but no milkshakes to be found. I did see a police officer that looked like he was near caddy dining, eating some ice cream, But between the fact that I didn't have a pass to get in there and he was heavily armed, I didn't try to get any of that ice cream. I just continued to walk on to the practice area and watch Cam Smith chip, which, by the way, was pretty funny. Like, there was oohs and ahs while he was working the wedge on the practice green. But, I mean, he was really good. You know what I mean?
Right. Well, I mean, didn't he have a couple chip-ins during the tournament?
Yeah, and I saw him just barely miss an outrageous putt on 14 before he made his eagle on 15. The short game, I got to see a little bit on display. And as bad as he was, the short game was still beautiful.
Yeah, I just wish, I mean, I had him one and done. I had an outright on him. I just wish he could have held up. But I didn't play Billy Horschel. This is why I drafted him in our league. So, you know, because I never get Billy Horschel right. Like, it doesn't matter if the weeks I play him, yeah, he doesn't do much. And then when he wins, I'm nowhere near him. So I was like, you know what, I'll just take him in our league. And when he gets his eventual win, hey, at least I can have him somewhere.
I did not use him either. I have bet him and used him at times throughout the year. I had no real interest in him, to be quite honest with you. And after Saturday, I thought, well, no surprise. Somebody that has a good world golf ranking that I was nowhere near is there.
Yep. And I'm on like Hovland and other guys who just didn't get things going. But such is golf, and you know,
amen.
I think this week will be a little bit different. But do we need to talk about the other major golf news of the past since we last chatted?
It will surely be interesting to see what transpires. Kevin Na retiring from the PGA Tour. Other players have announced their fealty to the Saudi Tour, the LIV Tour. I don't know if fealty is truly what they've announced. I think Rahm used that word when saying he would stick to the PGA Tour. But yeah, the biggest news of all so far, the biggest name, I think Dustin Johnson's the biggest name and the biggest player, but the reality is he has two major championships. Phil Mickelson has six, so Phil is the big name that's making a move.
Right, but Phil at least had been predicted. People were ready for that one. Dustin kind of was a little bit of a surprise. And then
that was a big surprise to me.
And Taylor Gooch was another one. Like, did not see that one coming.
That one was very surprising to me because he's a young player who, you know, had tasted success at Oklahoma State. So I did expect him to be, you know, like, look, everybody's not a future major winner. And guys that I say are going to win a major someday won't. I don't know if Gooch was a future major winner, but he had won on tour already. And I did think that he was a guy, you know, he came from one of the big powerhouse college teams. I certainly think he had a chance to find himself being a major winner. I mean, I certainly would say that he projects as at least as good, if not better, than a Jason Duffner or somebody like that who did get the job done once.
Yeah. It'd be curious to know how much money it took to get him to go there. Because I guess I heard a report Tom Hoagie was reported 20 to 30 million to go, and he didn't. Dustin, I think, was what, 100?
125, plus I think.
Yeah, that sounds right. Like, I mean, if you're into the money, I get it. I'm a public school teacher, so obviously, you know, I'm not in it for the money.
You better not be.
No, I am not.
If you are, you shouldn't be teaching kids because you made a bad choice.
Well, I left accounting for education, James, so I didn't exactly go up the pay scale when I made that decision. But yeah, just, you know, I think from a pure golf perspective, the LIV Tour is going to be interesting. You know, the shotgun start, the team aspect to it, 48 players, only 3 days. Like, in the payouts, it'll be interesting to see if there's a second wave who goes now that kind of Dustin's taking a hit, Phil's taking a hit now, you know, there's rumors of Ricky going, Kokrak had already been mentioned. You know, we see Chase Koepka in the field, even where Brooks is not far behind.
The way Brooks talks about majors, that's hard for me to believe. But if these guys get the opportunity to play the majors, then that changes the ball game. I guess we just assumed that the PGA Tour was going to say it ain't happening, and that was that. I think it's interesting to see how this plays out with Phil maybe a little bit because of his popularity, Dustin because of the fact that he is a to-be World Golf Hall of Famer with his resume as it stands right now. But he's a guy that could win another major or two. Sergio, but maybe now he's not.
Sergio's a Hall, you know, probably a Hall of Famer.
But, probably. He's one of players in a lot of good tournaments besides the Masters.
But the thing is like the PGA Tour doesn't have a major. Like, so far, you haven't heard a peep out of the USGA, the RNA, the PGA of America. And I mean, certainly Augusta's not going to turn away Dustin and Phil, are they?
I don't know. Wasn't Phil listed, and this could all just be nothing, but wasn't Phil listed as a past champion, not a playing champion this year? While Tiger was, and I know Tiger did play, but I mean, and maybe that's just because he didn't play this year, so he automatically goes into that fold and can move back over to a playing champion. I don't know. I mean, let's be honest. I don't think any of us really know.
No. I don't really know on that one, but I think, you know, when you look at your Ian Poulter's, your Kevin Na's, now even Taylor Gooch, for right now, the LIV Tour is not even an official event for official world golf rankings. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that doesn't bother DJ. It doesn't bother Phil. I mean, Phil has lifetime. He can go three of the four. U.S. Open's the only one he wouldn't. He'd have to. Oh, no. He's got the 5 year on that one because of
PGA Championship
last year. Dustin should have still some time with the Masters win. So, I mean, yeah, I don't know how that works, you know, until one of these four majors say the LIV Tour golfers aren't allowed. You would assume that they're going to be there. I mean, I'm assuming they're all going to be there next week for the U.S. Open.
It's going to be incredibly interesting to see what happens next week, right?
Right. Well, yes, that'll be... It'd be interesting to see if the U.S. because the USGA sometimes likes to have some strategic groupings the first 2 days. It'd be interesting to see if who they put with who in that in those.
I don't know if it means a whole hill of beans, but I do think that it's funny that Kevin Na, what was it, about a year and a half ago at the match play? That wasn't this year, I don't think. I think that was last year.
Yeah.
Where he was giving Dustin the business about scruples, and now here they are as co-pillars of the new golf organization together.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know that that means anything, but I just find it ironic.
And then Grayson Murray and him had gotten a little tussle a few months ago, and Grayson threw another fire shot at Kevin Na over the weekend.
And then qualified for the U.S. Open today, did Grayson Murray.
Yeah, so if the USGA had any sense of humor, they put Na in, Grayson Murray, the same pairing for 2 days, and
I would call off sick to work and make sure that I was on my ESPN Plus, and that is the group I would be glued to.
Who's the third in that group?
I don't know. I mean, do you get somebody who, like, maybe like a Kevin Kisner with a real smart-aleck attitude, or
Kuchar?
Pat Perez, who's not afraid to throw some snarky comments out? Somebody who will flap his gums that's not involved in the LIV Tour or anything like that, that would be a real third party.
I mean, Pepperell, I don't think he's qualified, but that would be Hatton.
Hatton, if he were inclined to speak on it, yeah.
Phil would egg. I mean, if Kuchar's qualified, Kuchar would be perfect because he'll sit there and egg him on too.
There would be some good names to throw in that group, that's for sure. Some real good names.
Billy Horschel.
Yeah, I've seen enough of him. I was just cheering for bogeys all day yesterday for Billy, so I've seen enough of him for now. But if he sparked up some conversation, then I would be interested.
Yeah, I'm trying to think who the other ones that would probably egg him on a little bit would be. you'd have to have somebody security guard. Put Bryce in there so he can play security guard.
Brooks would throw some snarky comments around. He's not afraid.
I don't think they're putting Brooks in that group, though. I don't think they're putting Bryce in that group either.
Yeah, I would think not. I would think those two would be your focal point. How does Grayson Murray become a focal point of a featured group? We must be degenerates.
Well, no, because that's nothing to do with... it's just pure entertainment value, I think.
Which is true, and there is a real beef there, and it's gone back and forth for the last couple of days, so there is a real beef there.
If I put Brooks and Price in the same group, then.
Well, they're besties now.
Are they?
No.
Okay.
Absolutely not. They tolerate. One tolerates the other one. One probably wants to believe that they're friends, and I think it's pretty easy to figure out which one I mean.
Yes.
I think it's pretty easy.
And we just spent 15 minutes on the recap of the Memorial and the LIV Tour, and the LIV Tour on the side effects of the U.S. Open are much longer than the Memorial recap. That's okay. That's what we're here for, entertainment.
And I'm very interested to see what shakes down there in London for the first event. I will look. There's no question. I'm going to pay attention to it. I mean, if their goal was to get eyes on the prize, they got mine.
Yeah, and boy, a couple of, you know, the announcers they got, like Arlo White, who had been doing Premier League for NBC, and then Jerry Foltz, who had been doing women's golf for a while and, you know, was set to do the U.S. Women's Open, and all of a sudden he's not there because he went to the LIV Tour. And apparently the third voice is some like the legendary voice on the Asian Tour, so, I mean, they're not screwing around.
They're clearly not. I mean, they're all in. They're all in. Is it going to pan out? We'll see. But they are definitely doing everything that they can to make this tour successful. I'm really interested. Like, I know we've already talked about it. Why are they doing shotgun starts? Like, you don't have an extra 2 hours at the golf course to, like, make T-way. Like, not even T-ways, but just, I mean, it's the idea to have them all playing in the exact same conditions, because you still won't be if, you know, the weather's different on different parts of the courses, or even the wind is affecting different holes differently. Like, why the shotgun start? I don't know that you have an answer, but
That was one of the reasons. The other one I kind of thought of is, I mean, let's think about it. Now you and I might like it for sweat purposes, but come Thursday morning, the first group tees off at 7 a.m. or earlier. The last group will finish around 7 p.m., maybe later. Maybe they're just like, you know what? Let's try to get all this done in a 4 or 5 hour window, and that's it.
Yeah, maybe so. Maybe that makes you focus more, and that makes the TV time that they get more valuable.
Right.
Because every player is still at the same point in the round. Like, I'm sure there's logic to it. I don't know. I thought that was strange.
Because, I mean, if we look at, like, baseball, they're trying to find all different ways to shorten, you know.
Absolutely.
Shorten games. So maybe this is something like again, do I think the LIV Tour ends up succeeding? I don't know. I think that'd be a hard ask. But kind of like when we saw the XFL and things like that, I bet we see some change. Things the LIV Tour does, I bet we see some change on PGA Tour styles of broadcast because of it.
I don't think that's hard to believe. I can get behind that.
If it doesn't last very long. Like, who knows how long the LIV Tour is going to last. But I bet it's going to force the PGA to innovate a little bit because, like anything else, competition's good.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, you know, maybe the funding of the LIV Tour is maybe where the questionableness is here.
It is all going to be very interesting to see how it plays out. I don't know that I'm going to have any action on the LIV Tour when it first takes its play. I don't know if I'll even be able to, but I'm going to keep an eye on it. But I'm going to keep an eye on that Canadian Open, too, this week.
Yeah. Oh, good transition.
Ooh, well, you know, I try. Well, are we ready to talk about the Canadian Open?
Yes.
Skeeter, we haven't been here in a couple years. How much does course history play into this, if at all? How much do we look backwards? What are we looking forward at when we get ready for this year's version of the Canadian Open, the first one in 3 years, I believe?
Yeah, so we haven't seen the Canadian Open for a few years because of COVID. And then we haven't seen it at Royal St. George's since 2010, when Carl Pettersson won. I don't know if I remember anybody in the top five who'd even be playing this week. So, you know, I'm basically kind of throwing out course history. It's a weird par 70, 7,014 yards, but there's three par fives and five par threes. Four of the par threes are between 200 and 215 yards. All the par fives, the par fives are 538, 528, 560. The par fours, most of them are either between 350 and 400 or 450 and 500. So it's a little bit of a weird setup as far as that goes. Also, I don't know why. Apparently, there's some weird course setup with this thing. They apparently for the first 2 days will be teeing off 1 and 9, not 1 and 10. So, that's another little weird oddity here. Other than that, so, I mean, kind of blind knowledge here. I kind of saw a tweet from somebody today. It says the rough is penal, so it's going to be long, but the fairways are wide.
I think I saw that same one.
Greens might be a little tricky, but outside of that, there's nothing really difficult. Like, Pedersen won at minus 13, I believe, and I believe the cut was minus 1 back in 2010, which you would assume this year would probably be a little bit higher than that. So, for stats-wise, this is kind of my generic tee-to-green approach. Birdie's better, opportunities gain. I'm looking at those par 4s from 350 to 400, 450 to 500. Proximity ranges, seems like there's going to be a lot of mid-irons, especially with 4 of the par 3s, 200+, and you know, par 5s being reachable. Take a look there. Par 5 strokes gain. So this should be a little easier scoring than we've seen the past few weeks. Maybe it's not going to be minus 20. It could be. Who knows? But I think the other thing you have to kind of pay attention to in the next, you know, we're recording this Monday night, so Tuesday and Wednesday, as you did start off the show saying the longest day in golf of U.S. Open sectional qualifying, I wouldn't be surprised if a couple of those golfers withdraw Tuesday or even Wednesday morning because they're just going to say, you know what, I'm going to go focus on the U.S. Open. So whatever, if you're setting the lineup Monday night, Tuesday morning, don't let it be in stone. Be ready to pivot in case one of the golfers you choose decides to be withdraw.
Is there anything else we want to get into before we get into the field?
I don't think so. I guess the other thing is, too, this is not like the Masters or I believe the PGA Championship or even the Open, where if somebody who is not in the U.S. Open wins this tournament, they do not automatically get in. Unless they already have, I think if they already have a win on the season and they didn't qualify, but they get a second win, then I think they might get in. So I'm trying to think who that would be in this field. JJ Spahn would be one. I don't know if that's still a rule, but I know it was at one time where if you get two wins on a PGA Tour in a year, or in the calendar year between U.S. Opens, you automatically got in. So I don't know if that's still true or not.
I will ask you this one question about this tournament, because you say it's a par 70. Mm-hmm. Are we going to throw a likeness out to the recent par 70 that we had in Tulsa, the PGA Championship, or you know, the courses we were comping that to, Honda, Sony, RBC Heritage, Colonial. Or am I making too much out of that?
I get it from a distance standpoint, but again, there's 3 par 5s on this one. There's some shorter holes. There's some longer par 4s. Like, I don't know where the course compared, because I'll be honest, I don't know much about this course outside
Nor of the scorecard. Nor do I.
Something like that. Like, so, I mean, that was my original thought, but then just kind of looking at it, like, you know, 4 par 3s over 200 yards, 3 par 5s, like, I guess treat like a par 71, but, you know, generous fairways, if that's true, I mean, that's not like Colonial or Honda or Heritage, so I don't know what your course comp here is.
Maybe the best is not to get too involved in thinking that way.
Right, I mean, just trying to look at some different stats, but it's just, you know, we just don't have a ton of information, so current form and kind of what you think the course is going to set up, just choose a route and hopefully you're right.
Shall we get into the players?
Yep.
Let's do it. We'll start at the top. We'll start with Scottie Scheffler at 11-1. Justin Thomas is 10-9. Rory McIlroy is 10-5. Cam Smith 10-3. Shane Lowry, is 10-1. Sam Burns 10K even. Skeeter, you got a few choices. Who wrecks at the top of your list here?
This might be the first time this has ever happened. When I ran my model on Fantasy National, my top 6 golfers are all in this 10K tier, like literally 1 through 6. So at least for 36 rounds, that's the way it works. I don't know if it works out for pretty similar across. Yeah, 50 rounds, same thing. 24 rounds, same thing. They're all top 10 over 100 over 12 rounds and over 8 rounds. Shane Lowry is the only one who's not there, and then only 3 of them are last 4 rounds. So that's super, super short. I guess I'm going to go Justin Thomas at 10-9. I realize he missed at Colonial after winning the PGA, but Tita Green, he's number one opportunities gained. He's top 10 in everything I'm looking at except putting from 5 to 10 feet, which he's 12th. And the par 4 from 350 to 400, he's 26. Like, every single thing stands out for him at 10-9. he's going to, I mean, there's no RBC affiliation, at least I don't think there is.
They might be looking for a world popular golfer, though, with the loss of one recently.
Yeah, and Jeff Feinberg mentioned that last week with no inside knowledge, thinking maybe this is why he's here, but he's here for a reason. I mean, it probably also helps that this is, you know, not too far away from Massachusetts for, you know, it's not cross-country for, you know,
sure,
the U.S. Open next week. But anyway, I mean, Thomas rates out the best. He's coming off a major win. Missed the following week. He didn't seem too distraught by that. Probably a little distracted. Had a week off. 10-9? Sounds fair to me.
I don't know that I have a favorite that stands out for me.
Yeah,
but I'm gonna go with Cam Smith, man. Did not play well yesterday. I'd rather he were coming off of a positive vibes. But even during that tournament, he talked about how it wasn't necessarily a course that's set up for him because the driver just doesn't travel straight for him. Well, if we're going to get generous fairways, doesn't that say, hey, that's room to miss, and let Cam Smith do all his golden work around the greens? I'm going to give a shot at Cam Smith. I don't know what ownership will be.
I mean, he's the best putter in this group. He's third in putting. He's number one in approach. Number one, birdies are better. Second, opportunities gain. First, a par five strokes gain. So he hits everything you want. The proximity range is a little bit off on him, but he does everything else so well. I don't know if I have a definitive fade here, nor do I have a definitive favorite. Like, I guess my second one might just go back to Sam Burns at 10K. Third in par fours with 350 to 400. Eighth in birdies are better. Tenth in approach. Seventh in par five strokes gain. Really, this proximity for 200 plus is the only slight issue. But this is more of, well, he's kind of the cheapest of the six. So, you know what? If I like this tier, I got to include him there, I think.
I'm going to go Scheffler number two. I said after the playoff with Sam Burns that Scheffler's just got to be a guy in my lineup construction now until further notice. After a week of not seeing him play, I can't back off from that. He's been too good. He darn near won his fourth tournament of the season last year. I'm sure his eyes are a little bit more focused on next week, but, I mean, what has he done to make me think anything other than Scheffler is a good play? He missed the cut at the PGA Championship, rebounded with a second, and a playoff loss at the Schwab. I'm going to go back to Scheffler. He's just playing too good.
Yeah, I mean, second tee to green, second approach, second birdies are better. I mean, he rates out really well. And then, you know, Rory's probably going to be the most popular in this range RBC guy. I think he won the Canadian Open last time, and I think he ran away with it, too. He rates out well in everything except putting. So, yeah, it makes sense.
I could see myself using Rory as well. I don't know how much I'll get into this tier. I guess that's just going to depend on how I start setting lineups, but is there you said you don't have a definitive fade. Is there a player you're fading at all, or is there simply not an answer for you there?
It would be Shane Lowry for me. Mainly because he's played well enough to be in his tier, don't get me wrong, but short-term form is kind of the quote-unquote worst for statistical models here. 32nd Memorial, 23rd at PGA. It's just, you know, we've seen him kind of start decline ever so slightly, and unfortunately the 10Ks where you're loaded with other guys around here, it just, he kind of feels a tad out of place, but that's probably what it is, just kind of, you know, extreme recent form. And, you know, if he's 9,500, I'm playing him, but a 10-1 when Burns, Smith, and Rory are kind of right there, it's just kind of hard for me to click on Shane Lowry.
I think I'm fading Burns. I know that he's won twice, so the win equity is there, the opportunity, upside, all that. But look what else he's done right lately this year. I mean, he was really in a funk to start the year, missing cuts. And I know he rebounded, obviously. He got the win at Valspar. But then he missed a couple of cuts before he got the win at the Schwab. So the up and down nature of Burns has been a little bit troubling. And knowing that he just won last week, and I know I said I'd play Scheffler, who just came in second a week ago. I know I'm saying it last week, meaning 2 weeks ago before the Memorial. I'm going to fade Burns, but, I mean, it's not like I'm telling you he's a bad play.
I mean, you're going to have to take a stand up here. I mean, the way this field is, it drops off pretty quickly. So, you know, whoever you want to take your stand on, just go ahead and do that. But, like, I have four guys starting at 10s. I'm going to have to eliminate at least one, potentially two.
Are we ready to go 9K?
Yep.
Let's do so, and it'll start at 99 with Matt Fitzpatrick, Harold Varner III, 97, Corey Connors, 96, Tyrrell Hatton, 95, Tony Finau, 94, Adam Hadwin, 93, Sebastian Munoz, 92, Chris Kirk, 91, Keith Mitchell, 9K even. Skeeter, do you have a favorite Canadian? Do you have a favorite player in this tier?
Well, I don't have a favorite Canadian in this tier, but I do have a favorite player. He's starting to show some life again. 9,400, Tony Finau. Rates out pretty well for me. Everything's putting top 10, tee to green approach, opportunities gain, par 4 for 450 to 500, and proximity from 175 to 200. So, rating out well there. Rates out consistent across all short-term, long-term models. Again, we're starting to kind of, there's been some signs that his game's starting to come back. He went through a little bit of a slump, but fourth at Charles Schwab, second to Mexico, had a 30th at the PGA, 41st at Wells Fargo, where he just, his irons were completely off. But throughout Wells Fargo, he's getting strokes consistently on approach. The putter is actually working, which for Tony Finau is a plus. 9,400, I don't think that's a bad price. So for me, give me some Finau.
I don't know how much I love this tier. There's a few names in the 8Ks and the 7Ks that I like, which may mean I do play more 10K players than normal. But there's some names I can get after. And I asked you if you had a favorite Canadian, because I think I'm going to go with a Canadian. Corey Connors is my favorite play here. Missed the cut at the PGA Championship, but has been playing relatively good outside of that. And I know I was mentioning the PGA as one of those par 70s. But he was good at RBC Heritage T12. He was good at the Honda, the Sony. And I know that was a while ago. I don't know. I kind of messed with that par 70 comp a little bit a couple of weeks ago, and I had some decent plays out of it a la Brennan Todd. So I'm going to go with Corey Connors here. I don't know if the pressure of being Canadian is good or bad for him right here. It's been a while since we've been here. He wasn't the same player the last time we were here, but I'm going to go Corey.
Yeah, it seems like it'd be a course that would suit him pretty well. I thought we were going to go Hadwin, who seems a little overpriced.
Way overpriced, and I like Adam Hadwin.
I know, that's what I thought you were going to go there. If you are a believer in that short par 70 narrative, Harold Varner played really well at Heritage. He played well for 63 holes at Colonial at the Schwab.
Yes.
He's had that blow up, so if you can forgive that. He rates out well, too, as far as birdies with better opportunities gained, short par fours, approach. So he kind of fits that narrative. If that's a narrative you want to play, I think he would be one that would fit that.
I will certainly get into some HV3. I may still have a little bit of a gut punch reaction from that the two triple bogeys. I complained about seeing home a double bogey two holes yesterday. Triples twice on the back nine last Sunday for Harold, so I'm a little burnt, but I will go to Harold as well.
And Munoz and Kirk both are right out very well for me at the low nines. Kirk would be another one that he has won at Colonial, so that would fit. Munoz, birdie maker, maybe you just bet him first round leader. Apparently he's had some recent success first round leader. So where was he? Where did he do that at recently?
He shot a 60 somewhere, didn't
he?
Byron Nelson, he shot a 60 on the first round.
Yeah, so, I mean, if this course is going to play a little bit easier, I mean, it's maybe more of Munoz, but only 9,200, I think, you know. I can see myself playing only Finau in this tier.
I like Keith Mitchell as well. I think he might actually be my number two. Played really well at the Memorial Tournament. Wasn't great Saturday, or might well have been in contention come Sunday. Was decent at the PGA. Had a little bit of a down spell, but he was good at the beginning of the season, too. So 9K even. I'm going to turn to Keith Mitchell. I know he's played, obviously, well at the Honda before. I may be overrating these comps, but I'm going to run to it. So give me some Keith Mitchell here as well.
I mean, yeah, we don't know, or at least I don't think most people know how this is going to play out. So stick to your, you know, if you're going to play an angle, play it. And if it works, great. If not, well, then you know what? Oh, well. Like, I think at least playing an angle like that gives yourself the best chance to win, because if you're targeting a certain skill set or a comp course and it comes through, well, then you're in great shape. And, you know, you're trying to win tournaments. That's kind of the route you need to go.
Who are you fading here?
That's got to be Hadwin. Just the price is just enough for me to not want to really deal with him at all.
Yeah, I was thinking Tyrrell Hatton, but then I'm thinking about his success at different places. That makes sense here, the RBC Heritage. And he's played a little bit better, too. So I think Hadwin's my guy, too. Maybe he's inspired by the National Open, and he plays like he did at the Memorial where he finished T18 after a rough start. He really finished strong, but outside of Valero, well, that's not true. He had a good run, Valspar, and the players, too. But I do think Hadwin is just overpriced. But he's had some good finishes this year. He may be deserving of it more than I believe. But I think he's my fade, too.
Yeah.
Let's go 8K.
Okay.
It's my best friend at the top, 8,900, Patrick Reed. Justin Rose is 88. Sahith Theegala, 87. Johnny Vegas, 85. Mackenzie Hughes, the real Canadian, 84. Oh, it's Rasmus Hougaard, 83. Brennan Todd, 82. CT Pan, 81. There is no 8K. Skeeter, you got a favorite in this group, besides, of course, my best friend.
Which one?
Notice I blasted Reed and did not blast Rose.
I know. That's why I started laughing, like, oh, man, he's back-to-back for you. Yeah, this is a tier I'm probably not going to get into, just because I like too many of the upper 10, like the 10s and even the upper 9s, like Finau. I guess he's mid 9, but so I don't know if I go to this tier, but if I do, CT Pan at 8,100. You want to talk about a roller coaster last week? He was even par after the second round. I was betting him at 500-1 and 1,000-1 because had he not taking a 10 on a par 5, you would have been 3 off the lead. I was like, well, okay, maybe he's, you know, he was able to bounce back from that. And, well, the weekend didn't go so well for him. But he continues to have good numbers and approach, good tee to green, good approach, good birdies are better. 8,100, he just kind of continues to kind of stick out for me a little bit.
All right, I'm going to stick to the narrative. Brendan Todd.
Yeah.
Third at the Schwab, and it was kind of a blind pull out of my keister that had him in my best lineup, the one that Varner really sabotaged with that pair of triples on the back nine. But Brendan Todd was in that best lineup for me. He was very good just his last time out, has played well at these kind of courses. Like, again, I don't know if this par 70 is a Brendan Todd course, but I'm going to take the chance at it. I'm assuming that he won't have the ownership of some others. I could be dead wrong, but give me Brendan Todd here.
He is actually getting some attention early on a Monday night.
Of course he is.
Yeah. I don't have anybody else I really want to go to. I think people might go to Theegala.
I will as well.
He's been his recent short-term miles, he's ran really well, especially coming off at 5th at the Memorial. He did not have a good day today at the U.S. Open qualifier. He did not qualify. And before that, he just kind of had a string of, I mean, he's making cuts, but just not terribly great finishes. I'm not sure I'm going to pay 8,700 for him. So he's not going, is he going to be my fade? No, he's not.
I would be interested in Theegala. I would be interested in Patrick Reed again. I think I'm going to go Johnny Vegas here as my number two.
Okay.
As you pointed out, you know, I don't know that I love this tier. I do like Todd quite a bit, and I'll go to Theegala, and I'm going to give Reed another chance because I'm going to hope that I'm bouncing back on him when other people don't.
Oh.
But I don't see myself getting like 30 or 40% of any of those guys. And I'll play Mack Hughes, let's be real honest with each other.
Well, you mentioned Vegas. He's going to be my fade.
Okay.
And I don't know how smart people will be here, but I think people might just jump to him because they're going to see, oh, he's won here twice. Well, that was Glen Abbey. This is not
right,
Glen
different
Abbey.
Place.
I mean, you know, back-to-back wins. One of you is really struggling, too. So I want to avoid that. Even though, however, if I, you know, the real fade is probably Justin Rose because he's not been playing very good.
That is my fade here. I got to fade the Vampire. I mean, he popped at the PGA Championship. He has a knack for playing well at the majors. He's won one. He's come very close to winning another one. But he hasn't made a cut outside of the PGA Championship here in the States since, well, February. And that wasn't exactly good. So he was good at the Farmers in late January. He was good at the PGA Championship, nothing else. I will fade the Vampire Justin Rose here.
So, by the way, maybe the play for Patrick Reed. Don't play him on DraftKings. He's 50-1.
I mean, that's the kind of number I will probably, especially in this tier, this field. Like, I think the number I saw on HV3 was 33-1, and that's the best number I've actually seen people talking about.
I am at 22.
And that's a number I'm seeing. So I think I'm like, dang, 33 is a good number. Oh, by the way, this guy's never won in the United States before. Patrick Reed, on the other hand, most assuredly has, and his number is 50. So Reed is definitely a guy I'll consider going right back to the well with in betting. Every time I bet him, he does terrible. I forget about him, he does good. So maybe you could just take that for what it's worth.
Mackenzie Hughes, 80-1. Brendan Todd, 100-1.
I don't know that I would bet Mackenzie Hughes. I will possibly bet Brendan Todd, though.
And by the way, why is Højgaard in the 8Ks? Why is he 100-1? He's 100-1, but why is he in the 8Ks? Like, I saw up there, like, oh, is he playing well in Europe? And I look at his numbers, and not really.
I mean, maybe he's the fade here. Maybe he's the fade.
I mean, because
I'm not going to use him. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I'm not going to use him. I'm not using the Vampire either, but I'm not using Højgaard.
I mean, 6th at Punta Cana, 18th at Valero. I mean, recently 51st at the Porsche European Open, 10th at the Dutch Open, 16th at the British Masters, like... I'm not saying those are terrible finishes, but I don't know if that always translates to PGA Tour success. Like, I mean, this was the event last year. It was the Palmetto, you know, where Higo came over and won after winning twice the Canary Islands. But, you know, he was cheaper for that last year, I believe, than Højgaard is right now. So that's a curious price on Højgaard.
Yeah, you bring up a great point, because I was going to say, hey, we've mentioned nothing about him, and I won't be using him either. I will be using some players in the 7K. Are you ready to discuss them?
Yep.
A handful of guys that I'll be interested in, but Skeeter, I'm going to ask you first, who is your favorite play out of these players in 7K?
Give me a second at this point in timestamp. Again, I don't know if I have a favorite play here, but the one that kind of jumped out to me and unfortunately, jumping out to others at 7,300 is David Lipsky. Like, he doesn't do anything terribly well, but outside of putting, he's top half of the field and everything else. Like, approach, opportunities, par fives, birdies are better. Like, he has good numbers as far as that goes, but as I said, unfortunately, he's already getting some steam here on Monday night. Made three cuts in a row, 37th at Memorial, 48th at Schwab, 25th at Byron Nelson. Does have a couple top tens at Mexico and Punta Cana. So at 7,300, though, I mean, we're starting to get, especially in this field, you know, it's good at the top, but after that, these guys are all kind of the same. You know, the consistency here, I think, could kind of work, and he has at least flashed some top 10 upside this year.
I'm going Pat Perez, man.
He's one I have a star by.
7,600. I would like Pat Perez at 82 or 8,300. Coming off of 26th at Memorial, 12th at the Schwab, 38th at Byron Nelson, didn't make a lot of noise, but made the cut with a 66 at Heritage, or I'm sorry, at Mexico and a 51 at Heritage. You got to go back to March for the last missed cut for Pat Perez. It doesn't always look great, but it's been pretty good lately. Mm-hmm. I feel like Pat Perez is underpriced at 7,600.
I kind of thought so too. 100-1 at the book.
That's a good bet.
He's number one in this range. Par fours from 350 to 400 over 36 rounds, 27th in the 450 to 500 range. His opportunities and proximity aren't great, but I bet he's going to rate out much better short-term models. Let me see. Yeah, yes. Much better over 12 rounds, 8 rounds, things like that. So I agree. I think he's one that I will be using. And let's see. Is he wildly popular? Yeah, he might be one of the two or three most popular in this range with Lipsky. Great.
Not surprising to me where his game's at currently, and a veteran in a lesser field, but I'll still turn to him. That may just mean that I've got to go 40 or 50% Perez on top of the bet.
Ooh, bold.
Yeah, you know, it's not that bold when they're $5 lineups.
That's also true.
Who else do you like here besides Lipsky or Perez?
JJ Spahn keeps popping up in at least longer term models at 7,600. Misses the PGA, but I mean, did win at Valero, had a good show in the Masters, good at Byron Nelson. He misses the PGA because of his putter. His irons still have been clicking, so that's always a good sign to spawn. 14th tee to green, 16th in approach, 19th par 5 strokes gained, 21st opportunities gained. Really doesn't have a, you know, everything else he does kind of average or a little above average, so 7,700, I don't mind that. Maybe I ought to bet him top Canadian. Nick Taylor was one that kind of popped out a little to me. Good approach, good tee to green. Putter and 200-plus yards, a little bit of a problem, but everything else was okay. And then two others who just pop stat-wise, I want to dig a little more into Tyler Duncan, who's starting to, I think, play a little bit better. And then Smotherman, he keeps showing up every week in stats. Really good in the proximity ranges, good opportunities, gained good tee to green. He did not qualify either today for the U.S. Open, but he has made cuts in there. He's made five straight cuts. Granted, three of them are in 60s and two of them are 25th. So, you know, good luck trying to figure out which version of Smotherman you're going to get.
I got a couple other guys I'll play. Adam Long I'll play. I like playing Aaron Rye, who had a nice, I don't know, did he have a nice bounce back week, or did he just grind it out a little bit better than everybody else out at the Memorial? I mean, he never went below 300 in round three when guys did move. But his minus one ended up T26. So I like Aaron Rye. I'll give him a chance.
He lost five strokes in approach, gained all of his strokes putting, eight.
Okay, that's not the best thing to hear.
No.
But I'll still turn to him. I think I said Laird already. If I didn't, I'll turn to Marty Laird as well. But you know what, Skeeter? You know who's been playing some decent golf since his return?
I have a guy starred. I wonder if it's the same guy.
You can't play two Rorys if you don't play one, and that means I got to play Rory Sabatini if I want to have a double Rory lineup.
I mean, he's made six cuts in a row. Off the tee's been an issue. Approach has been there. Like, he's been doing really good around the green, so it's saving him. But, no, I have some interest in Silver Sabs.
In this field, 7,200 seems like a safe play. Like, you know I'm not a cash game guy. But gosh, he'd be I'd feel really good about him in a cash game lineup if I did that kind of thing.
Well, it's interesting. He might be a little bit of a pivot off Adam Svensson, who also is going to get popular. Maybe people was like the Canada narrative there. But, you know, at the same price, I think JT Poston's short-term model is starting to come well. And he's a guy who's played those shorter courses as well. And Nate Lashley continues to pop in the proximity and the opportunities gained. What has he done lately? Nate Lashley. He's missed two cuts in a row, but prior to that, 17th at Byron Nelson, 11th at Mexico, missed at Heritage, but 18th Valero. So Lashley's probably more of a boom-bust type of play, but he at least has some upside, I think.
Would you touch Ryan Armour?
Oh, well, it is a short course. That's usually where you want to play Ryan Armour. What's he been doing?
Up and down. But the up's been good.
Yeah.
A 25th and a 15th, but there's a lot of miscuts around it.
That's Nate Lashley-like. I don't have a problem with it just because he does seem to excel in shorter courses. I don't know if I'm playing him, but...
Would you go to Brant Snedeker at 7,100?
No.
He knows how to win in Canada.
He did win a Canadian Open.
And he's had a really good, like, regardless of where they've played it, whether it's at Hamilton, Royal Montreal, or Glen Abbey. He's played good at all of them, so his game travels to Canada.
Okay, I'm not playing him, but you at least have a reason for it, so.
I might, just because 7,100 for a guy who's won the FedEx Cup, the guy's made a couple cuts in a row. Like, I'd be interested in Snedeker, but... I also got to cheer for him one hole yesterday, and there could be some really obnoxious recency bias as I go to set lineups and I go, oh, he's only 7,100, and I just saw him play at the Memorial. Ah, that's a dumb reason to play him. Let's do it.
Well, you know, sometimes you just gotta make those plays.
And again, it's cheap, so you know, it's easy for me to make that. Any other names that stand out for you?
Okay. I was wondering why Højgaard was in the 8K range. Because he had been doing much. I mean, he's been bad, but his past two tournaments over in Europe, 18th in the Porsche European Open, 5th in the Dutch Open. Might have to dig into this one a little bit more. 7,400, Matt Wallace?
I mean, we both liked him not that long ago. There was a, you know, I want to say it was a couple years ago at one of these major championships. that I was feeling some Matt Wallace. So I believe in the player. I'd take a stab.
I mean, back in the fall, 14th at Shriners, 4th at Zozo, it went terribly downhill since then. But, I mean, he made the cut at Mexico, which is all I can say there. But then Mr. Wells Fargo, Mr. Byron Nelson, goes to Europe. I mean, 5th and 18th. I mean, he's at least popping some form.
Made the cut at Mexico, went to Europe and played well. Do you know what those two things have in common with the RBC Canadian Open?
None of them are in the United States.
Boom. Exactly. Now there's a narrative for you.
Well, wait a minute. Does that mean? Hold on. That's good news for Varner.
Good news for Varner. Finau's chances of winning go way up.
Wait, where?
There's no Tommy Fleetwood in here to get excited about.
No Louis on
Shane Lowry. Has Lowry won in the United States?
Yeah, he won at Firestone. He won a WGC at Firestone.
Okay.
Where's Louis when I need him?
I think you know that answer.
Yeah, well, he's true.
I mean, he's lived large.
Yeah, well, unfortunately for him, some of those events are in the United States, so that could be an issue.
But not all of them, at least.
Yeah, well, this is true. I don't see anybody else who. Okay, yeah.
Do you got a fade for me in the 7Ks?
Was going to be Matt Wallace until I looked at his recent form. I said, oh, you know what? Wait a minute. I want to throw a name out there just to anger you, but it's becoming Hank Oliviotis season, so I'm not ready to do that one. Patrick Rogers, because he's just a guy I never seem to play. You know, had been in decent form before blowing at the Memorial. Irons did not help him there, but prior to that, had some decent finishes. But again, that just even in this field, 7,700 feels a little too much. Like, give me Fratelli instead, or Perez, or Spawn, or Taylor.
I guess I'm going to fade Cameron Champ. Guy's got distance. You're only giving me 3 par fives, so I feel like maybe this isn't the place for him. Although it's a wider fairway, I could be wrong. Missed a couple cuts recently. I'll fade Cam Champ. I thought about fading Danny Willett, too. I may fade them both.
This feels like a Willett course.
I was on Willett last week at the Memorial, and he was a missed cut in a 5 of 6 or a 4 of 6. He was one of my missed cuts, maybe with Seamus Power. But
that does not seem like a Memorial does not seem like a Danny Willett course.
But he'd done good there before.
Really?
It does not seem like a Danny Willett course, but does the Masters, does Augusta seem like a Danny Willett course?
Well,
I mean, the answer is yes, but it's also no, if you ask me.
I mean, didn't he win when there was some bad weather, lower scoring, which would be typical Danny Willett's? Like,
that might be true. I'd be lying to you if I said I remember the week really well. I mean, I remember him winning, but I would be lying if I said I remember the week that well.
I want to say it was like -5 or -6 at one.
I won't use Danny Willett, but I'll make Cam Champ my official fade.
Okay, that works.
Shall we hit the 6Ks?
Yep.
I don't know that I'm going to find myself in love with a lot of these players here, given the nature of the tournament, as we've already discussed. Do you have a player that you feel like is really a good play to turn to here?
The only one I have started right now is Adam Shank at 6,900. I mean, coming off of 26th and Memorial, gained a bunch of strokes in approach, but he's been very inconsistent as far as his game. 9th at Wells Fargo, I mean, made to cut the PGA Championship, so that's about the only thing I have on him. Doesn't really jump out statistically anywhere. Really doesn't. He's got like one kind of semi-bad category, two semi-good categories, but everything else is kind of mediocre, so that was the only name. I mean, Vaughn Taylor's going to pop into stats a little bit, but I don't really want to do that. Cam Percy pops stat-wise, but I think that's going longer back. Like, I think it's part of the problem this week for the 6K tiers. There's guys who are going to pop out a little bit, but it's A, weakness of field, and B, these are going to go, this goes back a little further than you would expect. Like, for example, like Scott Gutchewski at 63. What is he? 6,500 pops out short-term models, which is weird, but I mean, Byron Nelson, he gained 5.5 shots in approach, lost 5 putting, that's why he missed the cut.
I just call him Gut Check. I think that's an easy way to say that last name.
I like that. I mean,
but it kind of almost looks like it says that if you take the last syllable out.
It does.
Kind of, sort of.
I mean, that's not a bad... I mean, he's not the worst one, but I don't... You know, if I need somebody, I'd probably play him over Percy or Lingworth. And what the heck happened to RCB? Like, he was a guy I used to play all the time.
I was looking at Henrik Norlander down here in the 6Ks, too, and I'm like, dude, there was a time where I would have played him in the 6Ks all the time, but not now.
I mean, I also have a odd second place at Abu Dhabi. RCB, there's missed cuts, or his best finish since then was 38th at the Puerto Rico Open.
Like, I don't have an answer for what happened to you, to be quite honest with you. So you didn't mention Charlie Hoffman. You telling me that he's not a great play at 6,700?
I mean, I'd only play him because of your affinity for him.
Okay, so I'll play Charlie Hoffman. I will play Jim Herman. I cannot justify either of those. Unfortunately, Hoffman has gotten into the Jim Herman tier as far as I'll throw like $2 on a win now. I can't even throw the full $10 on him. That saddens me, but it is the truth. You actually mentioned my favorite as a guy you'd rather play another player over, but you mentioned David Lingmerth. Now, I know he won the Memorial Tournament, so there's good vibes there, but he made the cut, was T48 there. It was a Korn Ferry Tour event, but he was 21st at the Advent Health Championship, whatever. But you know what? He made the cut at the Wells Fargo. So that's three made cuts in a row, T46. He missed the cut at +2 at Mexico. That's a little troubling. But before that, a couple more made cuts. They were off events, Punta Cana and Puerto Rico. But this kind of feels like an off event with a couple of stars at the top. 6,500, I might take a chance at David Lingmerth. I don't like a whole lot in 6K. That's a price low enough that I could get two 10K guys in a lineup, though, and I may take a chance on him at that.
That's fair. I get that. Yeah, I'm just looking. I didn't realize Scott Brown was playing Korn Ferry Tour events. Well, he has his favorite tournament coming up in a month from now, the John Deere Classic.
He was very good last year there. I promise you, I'll bet him again there this year, unless something crazy happens between now and then.
He's good there every year.
Yes, he is. He is like Brendan Steele at the Honda.
Yeah. I forgot about Brendan Steele there. Steele won at Honda, didn't he?
I don't know if he's ever won it. I've won money on him in a top six, like decent money, when he was a three-digit long shot. Not for the top six, let's settle down, but he was for the win. I think he was 125-1 to win and came in like third a few years ago. It was one of my first like real nice big sweats that I got all excited about.
Okay. But yeah, there's nobody else. I mean, I might have to dig to find up on somebody, but there's nobody else I'm real excited to play.
I am with you on that. Like Brandon Wu, I played not that long ago, Brandon Wu, but that seems to be run its course kind of a deal. I know he made the cut last week, but it wasn't good. That was a pair of 80s on the weekend, so I don't know if I can turn to him again. That might get people off of him. Kramer Hickok is like a guy not that long ago I was interested in using. He did make the cut at the PGA and at the Memorial, but it hasn't been good. So those are names I might sneak into a lineup if I'm just trying to save money somewhere, but I'm not going to start by building around those guys.
Yeah, I'm just looking through the sixes right now, like guys I may have played in the past.
Wesley Bryan.
No, he missed. I think he missed out on qualifying. What has this guy done? No, I mean, yeah, I'm just looking through the sixes, and there's just no consistency. Like
Ryan Moore.
No.
I mean, we haven't seen him in forever.
Well, I mean, he played last week. He made the cut, but he might have finished DFL.
He more or less did, yes.
I mean, yeah, there's just, I mean, it drops off quickly. These 6K guys, like, you're going to have to take a chance on somebody here.
If you're going there, you are taking a chance. That, there is no question.
Yes.
I don't really have anything more positive. You got a fade for me in the 6Ks.
Oh, Mike Weir.
All right. Well, I mean, Canadian's major champion, the Masters champion. You just going to throw him out under the water like that. All right.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I don't have a real fade for you because we don't like this tier too much. You know what? Rather than throwing Ben Crane under the bus because he's one of my favorite goofy dudes in the world, I'm not going to do that to him. I'm going to fade Luke Donald. Although this is a shorter course, it might actually be a decent Luke Donald course.
Well, it's not the Heritage, so you don't have to worry about that.
I was going for somebody who's like a decent price that you would actually consider there at the top. I won't use Luke Donald, so I'll go ahead and say I'll fade him. But this does seem like a course where he could pull a make cut out of it.
Yeah, I mean, Sangmoon Bay, what's he been doing? A couple top 15s of the Corn Ferry Tour. Man, military service kind of cost him.
It's a shame. It's a shame. I'd like to see those guys be able to do it a little bit later in life. I mean, it's not my country. It's not my roles, but it'd be nice to see them guys do it a little later in life.
Well, yeah, but military, you want them nice and young because when they're still in the...
Put them behind a desk, dude. Do what the Navy did with the Admiral. Oh, why can't I think of his name now?
David Robinson?
Thank you, yes. Like, let him do his service for the military by being a recruiter.
I think somebody did do that. So I don't remember. I don't know if it was like KJ Choi or... There was some big South Korean golfer who I think got that, but I don't know how or why, but...
Did he win a major? Did Choi Yang won a major? No, Choi Yang. Did Choi win a major?
No, he won a Players, I think, but I don't think he
won a major. Okay, I felt like I guess that's where I was thinking he won a major.
Yeah, because Yang was the first one. He was a damn good golfer. Yang was the first one to beat Tiger when Tiger
had a 54-hole lead. Yeah, it was like at the PGA, right?
Yeah. Maybe? It was at Hazeltine, if I remember correctly.
I won't try that hard. I already feel like I got the most out of my knowledge out of my brain there.
Okay.
Well, Skeeter, are we done with the DraftKings side of things?
Yes.
Well, now let's talk about something that makes us all very happy. And that's one and done. I went with Shane Lowry last week. It was okay until Sunday. Then it wasn't. And that's kind of been the scene for me here lately. So T32 from Shane Lowry. I got myself a nice 68,000. I am in 2,767th place. I am exactly where you want me to be. Close enough to the top that I'm not embarrassingly bad and will try to come back again and put my money in next year, but nowhere near winning.
I had Cam Smith last week, so I mean,
I'm so sorry.
For 3 days, I was looking great. Well, 2 days, I was looking really good. Three days, like, okay. Yeah, I mean, T13 for $221,000. I kind of stayed put in 621st place. This is a tough week. Like,
Cam Smith's mullets still look good on Sunday.
That's a fair point.
His smile still look good, too. When he lipped out on 14, I don't even know if that made TV. 14 is kind of where I was lingering after I got done walking with Homo waiting for the leaders to come by, which was, by the way, a killer spot to hang out and just enjoy the everything that was going on there. And 14 was a hole some people were birdieing. Some people were double bogeying, too, like Neiman. But he lifted out a birdie putt from real distance, basically where Billy Horschel's putt on 14 was from, that Billy ran by 7-8 feet. But made the comebacker, by the way, so they both parred the hole. But Cam had just the greatest smile on his face. He was having a terrible day, and he had the lip out that lipped out uphill. And I really like him, but gosh, the smile on his face, like, you're like, this is the kind of guy I like cheering for. He's not crybaby and he's not throwing anything. He's just taking it all in stride.
Right.
I don't know what the heck that even means, but his mullet looked good and his smile looked good.
Okay. That's all that matters.
That's all I got for you. That's not all that mattered, especially when you used him in one and done. But you know what? In the end, that does matter.
You know, I like people with some integrity and some honor. Agreed. So.
Agreed.
I have no idea what I'm going to do for one and done.
I'm staring Brendan Todd in the face right now. It'll be 1%. He's still available and 100% available.
Here's my problem. I used Cam Smith last week. I used JT at the PGA Championship. Good move. I've used Burns. Miscut. Thank you. I used Lowry. I used Finau. Like, I don't really want to go Scheffler, Rory. I want to say Scheffler for next week.
I still have Scheffler and JT, and I have no intention of using either of them. I have Burns. I'm not going to use either. I'm serious. Like, I'm thinking Connors. I'm thinking maybe HV3. I'm thinking Brennan Todd. I'm not really thinking Pat Perez, am I?
You know who I just chose? I didn't mention. I think I mentioned like I might play him, but probably not at the price. Harold Varner III.
Okay.
I just don't want to waste one of the top. I mean, I'm still running out of top guys. There's still two majors. There's still the
FedEx stuff.
I think the first two playoff events. I was going to say WGC, but that doesn't take place anymore. So I don't know. I might have to think of this through to who else I would. But Barner's playing well enough. I might want to catch him here and see what happens.
I clicked Corey Connors. I don't know
that's fair. I mean, that's fair.
He's going to be popular this week, isn't he, in Canada?
Yes.
Maybe I don't want to go that route then. I have Corey Connors clicked. I'm going to unclick him right now. He can't be that popular. He's only 41% available.
Yeah.
I mean, he could be 40% used, but I'm going to leave him clicked. I was going to go back to Brennan Todd. I'm going to leave Corey Connors, who I do like this week. Why not stick with him? He's my favorite in the 9K tier. He's going to be my play, unless I do something stupid between now and then.
Yeah, I just, really, I just,
which I'm known to do.
I don't have anybody definitive here, and we're also coming up on some other events, you know, when we get to, well, actually, I gotta check something here. So are we picking the Scottish Open? Because that could make things interesting.
Yeah, that's an official event now. I don't know that, to be quite honest with you.
This new season's kind of, I don't need summer here. Let's see. We are picking the Scottish Open. Oh man.
Okay.
Oh boy. So I'm trying to think of the big events. So, well, actually, that's good exercise here. We only have 11 events 10? Left to pick.
Yeah, 11. I was gonna say about 10. Yeah.
And I mean, and let's face it, the John Deere, the 3M, and the Rocket Mortgage aren't exactly getting top players. The Wyndham probably isn't. So we're down to BMW, I mean, as far as the major guys, BMW, FedEx, St. Jude, the first playoff event, the Open, the Scottish Open, the U.S. Open, maybe Travelers.
Yeah, it makes me think about using Scotty Scheffler today. Makes me think about using him.
But the payout here is 8.7. Well, it's actually higher than the non-major. Actually, yeah, this is higher than the non-majors and the non-playoff events. So actually, of the 11 events remaining, this would have the fifth highest payout. Overall price, but I don't know about the winner's share.
I just put Scheffler in. Your little look up there was very helpful to me. It doesn't mean that Corey Connors isn't a play, but I've got 11 tournaments left to use guys like Scheffler. I'm using them now. Hopefully he wins. Like I said, I can't fade him right now the way he's playing. Why not go ahead and use him?
All right, I'm going Rory. I want Scheffler next week.
Cue the Varnold Corey Connors playoff.
I'm not convinced I stay on Rory either because I just don't know where else I use. I mean, I don't think I'll use him at the Open. I might try to use something really stupid and use like Tommy or something there. No, I already used Tommy. I can't do that. Oh, I can lose Louis.
You hope so.
That's true. If not,
you hope so.
If not, there's some random Euro some good Euro I can use. I think I've used Hatton. I don't. You know what? I'll figure this out later.
I think I'm rolling with Scotty Scheffler. I don't know that he's winning two majors this year, so I'll go ahead and hope that I can pull something out of my keister later, but I'm going Scheffler this week.
That's fair.
Skeeter, you got anything else for the Canadian Open?
I do not.
Well, I look forward to watching this week, getting prepared for another major champion and, you know, pointing out everybody that I got to see in person on TV from last week.
Ah.
That's what I'm going to do. See him. I saw him last week.
Yeah.
Trust me, the replay, we got rained out early. The replay was on in the garage this afternoon after work. Trust me.
Did you see yourself in the crowd?
Oh, I was standing right there. No, my garage TV is, while high def, it's not the best TV. It's an old 50-inch, so like any crowd shots are pretty blurry. But my one buddy was like, where are you sitting? I'm like, I'm there, but you're not going to see me, man. But we can sit here and watch me anyway. Well, Skeeter, you got anything else for the Canadian Open before we put this thing to bed?
I do not.
Well, good luck to you this week. Good luck to everybody, and thank you for listening. And let's bring home a winner, my friend.
Sounds good to me.
For Skeeter Robinson, I'm James Adams. This has been the Fantastics My Fantasy Fix DFS Golf Podcast.